still, I mean, look, it's the story of the year when you think about it, is Soto getting to the Yankees in December of 2023, having the best season of his career, and then ending up in Queens in December of 2024. So it's been a year-long saga that finally came to an end, but there are a lot of layers that are going to get... I mean, there's enough in this process, how it all happened, the contract itself, the thought of a player lasting 15 years and being a viable player for that long is something that we haven't really taken a full grasp of. One of the guys that was in the middle, and I'm talking about in the middle of everything that went down from point A to point B with the Juan Soto process, the free agency, and it'll continue to cover the team soup to nuts on a daily basis, is our buddy Randy Miller from NJ.com. So Randy, you know, made a lot of headlines throughout the entire process, and he's nice enough to join us and take a few minutes out of his Christmas Eve to get back with us here. Randy, number one, to you and your family, a merry, merry Christmas, healthy and happy new year. And let's get right to it. Look, you were one of the guys that shook a lot of trees, made a lot of people uncomfortable, but you said all along you didn't think he'd come back. You had a few teams that you thought were possibilities, and he ended up in Queens.
Hi, Rick. First off, Merry Christmas to you and your family and everyone out there. Happy holidays. On Juan Soto, last year at the winter meetings in Nashville, right after the Yankees traded for him, big deal, of course, they gave up a lot. I was hearing right away that this guy's going to go to the Mets. I kept hearing that over and over and over. And then when I got to spend a year around Soto, it just was very obvious that this guy was playing to get the best contract. He was he wanted to win, great offensive player, but it still comes down to he was going to try to break the record. And I believe to this day, if the Pirates would have offered one penny more than Mets, would probably be a Pittsburgh Pirate.
I always felt, and I said this from day one, it never felt to me like he allowed himself to fall in love with being a Yankee. He had a business-first attitude from day one about his tenure with the Yankees. And yeah, look, he got along great with his teammates. Maybe, you know, now maybe toward the end we're finding out that maybe it wasn't that good. But there are ups and downs, as you know, throughout an entire baseball season, which is a very long marathon of a process. But Randy, I said it, and I think now that the smoke has cleared, you know, he really spent an entire year focused on getting the numbers up and really getting himself into this process. And there was no more proof of that than, you know, the interview right there that night, just 40 minutes after the Yankees lost the World Series to the Dodgers. You know, the answer to the question was, no one has an advantage to sign me. All 30 teams have the same, you know, are on the same level, basically, is what he said. The Yankees, as much as I love being here, they've got no advantage whatsoever to get me re-signed. I mean, if that wasn't a clear sign right there that, you know, mission accomplished, he got through the year, he came up short in the World Series, which would have been the icing on the cake, but as of that moment, he was ready to go into his free agency process.
Right, he was. First off, let me address the first thing you said. I do believe he did enjoy being a Yankee. I do believe that he greatly enjoyed working with Judge. I think he greatly enjoyed the adulation the fans gave him, and he ate that up out in right field. It was special every day, and he saluted them back, and I think he loved that. But it's still, what was most important was being a legacy Yankee more important than money. As much as he liked that, it still came down to, this is business, and I'm going to get the big contract. Scott Boras is my agent. Last year, Boras was embarrassed by a lot of the free agents that he had that did not get the contract. And it was going to be for the most money. And I think he had been prepared, schooled for this before this all started. This started back in Washington, and he really liked Washington. And they offered him, I think, $440 million for $13 million or so, and he turned it down, and they traded him probably a couple weeks later to San Diego. And from that point on, it was, I'm getting the free agency, I'm going to get the most money. But I do think he enjoyed it. I think he enjoyed, if the Yankees would have paid the most money, he probably would have come back. I was saying all along that it was my understanding that the Yankees were going to go in the mid-500s. I still stand by that, that was the plan, that the Yankees did not think this was going to go that high. It went way higher than anyone had anticipated. And this was Hal Steinbrenner. Hal Steinbrenner had taken a lot of criticism over the years for not being like his father. And this was, I believe, all Hal that said, I know the fans want him back, and I'm going to make a big effort to get him back. And it worked out absolutely perfect for the Yankees because they offered him over $700 million. And when he goes to the Mets, Soto looks like the spoiled money guy that goes to the Mets. Hal comes off looking like, hey, you gave it an A-plus effort. And then what happens after that? Spend this money, and he goes out, and the Yankees right now are a better team than they were when the World Series ended.
As I said at the moment when it happened, no Yankee fan can be upset at Hal Steinbrenner or the organization because they went further than anyone would have even thought. Look, everybody went further than was imagined for a player who is, as you mentioned, Randy, a fine offensive player, the greatest at-bats that I've ever seen on an at-bat per at-bat basis. Every time he comes up to the plate, it's a chess match with the pitcher, catcher, umpire, the whole thing. I get it. He's not a five-tool player, okay? Not a five-tool player. We saw the defensive deficiencies. We saw the arm on several occasions. We saw the base-running deficiencies more than enough times to realize it. But like you said, it came down to dollars and cents, but the Yankees did everything they could have done. On their part. So no Yankee fan can have anything negative to say about what they did as far as their pursuit of Juan Soto. Now, here's where we are. They get Freed into the mix. If you want to discuss the Freed contract, 8 years is, it's a long time for a pitcher that's had some injury problems. The money at this point is irrelevant, but the first couple of years are only going to be 12. So for the luxury tax purposes, it helps out. With Freed, who is a legitimate either one or two on any staff in baseball. They've done a lot, Randy. They have done a lot to the point where I opened this show saying that right now, I think the Yankees will have a better record this coming season than the New York Mets. I will go out on that limb, at least for the New York baseball fan, and just to stir it up a little bit. I don't think they're finished. Where do you think they go from here?
I do think the Yankees are close to finished at this point. They'll try to get the Japanese pitcher. I don't think they're going to get him. They could get whoever gets the guy is going to be come very cheap. I still think he's going to go to probably San Diego, maybe the Dodgers. Second base.
Yeah. Now let's let everybody know he's not a free agent, Randy. So let's separate. He is under 25, so he gets this international signing pool money. Correct.
Correct. And almost everyone has the same amount of money.
Right.
So he's an international free agent that's treated the same way that when the Yankees signed Jason Dominguez. We're talking about Roki Sasaki, and this guy's supposed to be the best Japanese pitcher that's ever come over here. Better than Hideo Nomo, better than Daisuke, better than Tanaka.
Better than Yamamoto, who made 300, but it's different from Yamamoto. It's not a bidding war for this kid. It's not. It's different.
Right, and his agent came out, I think, during the winter meetings a couple weeks ago and basically said, we think this guy, apparently the guy has had some problems with the Japanese media and thinks that a small market might be the best situation for him. A lot of the Japanese players like staying on the West Coast because it's an easier flight home to Japan. So the Dodgers and Padres seem to be the favorite with Ohtani and Yamamoto in L.A., and then the Japanese pitcher with San Diego, Yu Darvish was Sasaki's hero growing up, so the Padres might have a chance to get him also. But either way, the Yankees have done a great job. I agree with you that the Max Fried contract is is too many years. The Yankees right away went to the top of their list after Soto, and Fried was on there. And I'm guessing that somebody else was going to give him 7 years, and I think it might have been the Red Sox and whoever it was, maybe the Blue Jays. At that point, the Yankees was like, we're going to make sure we get our guy. And look, it's going to be maybe a bad contract 7 years from now, 8 years from now, but for the 2025, 26, 27, 28 Yankees, they're a lot better if he stays healthy. You mentioned he has had a lot of injuries. I think, though, the 8 times he's been on the injured list as a big leaguer, 3 times with a blister, nothing major arm-wise. He did have a Tommy John when he was in minor leagues. I was on the Zoom call with him, I guess it was last week, and the guy was very, very impressive. I'm sorry, it wasn't a Zoom call with him.
It was live, yeah.
At Yankee Stadium. Yeah, I was in the Zoom call with Devin Williams. That's a heck of an acquisition, too. The guy's one of the 2 best closers in baseball, and now you put Luke Weaver back into the multi-inning role that he excelled in last year when people didn't expect that. People thought, okay, the one piece you gave up to get Soto was Michael King that would be irreplaceable, and who would have thought that Luke Weaver, this guy that failed as a starter for years and years, becomes one of the top relievers in baseball and really rescued them late in the season. You mentioned the Yankees and Mets. I agree right now. Look, the Mets, I think they're going to get Alonso. Soto will sell tickets. It was a big deal for the Mets to steal a Yankees free agent, somebody they wanted. I don't know that that's ever been done before, certainly no one of this magnitude. So this is good for the Mets. The 15 years is crazy. I've had a lot of people in baseball that I trust tell me that this guy for 6 or 7 of those years might be the Albert Pujols in L.A. You're not going to get the best. He's going to be a DH down the road. But, hey, in the short term, at least for the first, I think, 6, 7, 8 years, he's going to be one of the best hitters in baseball. He's going to sell some tickets. I'm surprised that if you're bringing in Soto, that I'm guessing, and from what I had heard, is that they promised them they were going to do some other big things. And as much as I like and respect Clay Holmes as a person and what he did as a reliever, I know he had a lot of blown saves last year. Some of them was bad luck, but he had a pretty good Yankee career, 2 All-Star games as a closer when he came over from Pittsburgh as a guy with about a 5 ERA. Clay Holmes to be a starter, Frankie Montas to be a starter, re-sign Sean Manaea. I mean, to me, if you want to win, you want to compete with the Braves and Phillies and have a chance to beat the Dodgers, you better go out there and get Corbin Burns as your number one starter, or you don't have a chance to win in the playoffs. And right now, it's looking like the Mets, to me, are a third-place team in the NL East. Hey, it's great that they have Soto. The winner's not done yet. Let's see what happens. In the Yankees' case, if they want to add another piece and spend some money, I think they first need to trade Marcus Stroman, who's about $18 million this year. And I believe if he pitches 130 innings or so, he activates another $18 million. The Yankees desperately want to get rid of that contract. They tried to trade it to St. Louis to get Arenado. St. Louis said no. So I don't know that the Yankees are going to make a big move at third base. They're not going to get Bregman. So I would not be surprised if the Yankees do not do another big move at this point. Maybe get some competition for second or third. They have Jazz Chisholm to play 1 of the 2. Brian Cashman last week said that I asked him about DJ LeMayu. And look, I know everybody loves the 2019-2020 DJ LeMayu, and he looked like he was done the last, 3 or 4 years. Right now he's healthy. He's going to go into training camp healthy. And it might come down to a training camp battle between DJ LeMayu, Oswaldo Cabrera, or Oswald Peraza to be a starter at the third base with Jazz at second. That's what it could come down to. I think they'll bring somebody in. Maybe the Korean guy Kim, who was with San Diego, is a possibility. I think they could. Maybe he won't be real expensive. The guy's a good fielder, pretty young. If the money's right there, I think that's a possibility.
Jason Dominguez get a full shot this year?
I asked Brian Cashman about that last week, and he says we are going to give him a shot to be the starter. We are not going to hand him a starting job. He's either going to be starting in the big leagues or he's going to be starting in Triple A to start the season. So I think the Yankees starting center fielder, the to begin the season will be Jason Dominguez or Trent Grissom. My guess is Dominguez wins the job out of spring training. That's my guess. Look, they picked up Cody Bellinger that could be a center fielder also. I don't think that the Yankees are going to go out and get a left fielder. I don't see them getting Santander, who is just not a good fit because you would need him to play right field in Yankee Stadium. He's just not a good defensive outfielder in Yankees. Look, last year they put Aaron Judge in center. Judge, who ices his knees quite a bit, runs around a lot more in center. They want Judge back in right. They're not going to put Santander back out in left field, the big Yankee Stadium. We even saw Jason Dominguez, who's a natural center fielder, had trouble out there last year. So I think Cody Bellinger will probably be the left fielder, and Dominguez will probably be the center. And if Dominguez has a terrible spring training, then Trent Grissom will start the season in center. That's my guess.
Tim Hill, Tommy Kahnle, key pieces in that Yankee bullpen. Could they come back?
I think both of them could come back. The Yankees don't have a left-hander right now. I'm sure that both of those guys are trying to get as much money as they can. Tim Hill, when they brought him in last year, was kind of an afterthought and ended up being a pretty big piece in their bullpen in the second half of the season in the playoffs. Kahnle's been in the organization. I guess if they bring him back, this will be the fourth time. He's a big ball of energy that has a lot of – you've been around him in the clubhouse. He's crazy running around with his yelling these Eagle chants and Notre Dame and everything else. That said, he's a veteran pitcher who can pitch in New York. And at this point, if he's the second or third best reliever, watch out for Jonathan Loaisiga. We saw, I think, 3 years ago that Loaisiga, when he's healthy, can be as good as anybody in the game as a setup guy. Now, staying healthy obviously has been a huge problem throughout his career, even before the Yankees got him when he was a Giants prospect. But I hear he's healthy. I talked to a reporter friend of mine who speaks to him daily in Nicaragua. He's a friend of mine in Nicaragua that's a reporter there. And he says he's throwing. He feels great. Hey, he's not off the mound yet. There's a long way to go. But the Yankees are optimistic that Loaisiga can have a big 2025 season. And I tell you what, there's not a whole lot of fanfare about it, but I like the Goldschmidt signing for first base. For a one-year deal, he's a better fielder at this point than Rizzo was. His second half last season, especially the last month and a half, was pretty good. I think that he will be better than Rizzo was last year. I know the one worry about him is if you look at the fastball rate, how he handled fastballs from his MVP year in, I guess it was 2022, to last year, it was way, way down. And that's a little concern because he's handled him at 35 and didn't handle him at 37. But at the end of the year, he was pretty good. I think a couple scouts I talked to before he signed, and both of them told me that they think this guy's a candidate for a bounce-back season. We'll see. The Yankees have tried a lot of this over the years, bringing in old stars, and some have worked out, some haven't. I remember they brought in Matt Holliday a few years ago. You know, they brought Randy Johnson in, and sometimes they bring these guys in, and they have something left, and they flourish in New York, and sometimes they don't. But I think it's good for a one-year gamble for first base. They're not going to spend a lot of money after the Freed situation. I just don't see them making another big signing. And I'm surprised they didn't get Christian Walker because I've been hearing all along how much they love Christian Walker. And the prediction was 3 years and $60 million. So I thought, oh, well, the price has gone higher than him because everybody in the MLB trade rumors, the app, if you look at that, they're usually pretty good at that. And this year, their projections have been way low on a lot of the big free agents. So I thought, he's going to get 4 years. I kept hearing he's going to get 4 years. He's going to get more than $20 million. And then he signs for 3 years, $60 million. So that tells me that the Yankees wanted to get him a lot cheaper. I know they really liked him, but I guess they wanted to get him at bargain rate. And I'm okay with Goldschmidt, though. I think Cashman, Hal have had a fantastic winter.
Last thing before we let you go, my producer, Rami Levy, has been telling me here for the entirety of the program, how are they going to replace the offensive output of Gleyber Torres? I think, Randy, there might be a better shot of you or, you know, Hoke or Cuddy or, you know, one of the other beat guys playing second base than Gleyber Torres coming back. What do you think?
Glaber's not coming back. And I remember when I covered the Phillies all those years ago, the Phillies got rid of somebody, and Pat Gillick, the Hall of Fame GM, said when they got rid of somebody, addition by subtraction. Glaber Torres is kind of the Benjamin Button of baseball. I remember when the Yankees traded for him, I guess it was in the Aroldis Chapman trade in 2016, I believe. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they traded for him, I was flown down to Florida and went to his first two or three games as a Yankee prospect. He was playing for Tampa at Brevard County, and I met a scout there and sat with him for a few innings for his first game. And he says, this guy is 19 years old, and he has baseball makeup like he's 26 or 27. And I talked to the same scout recently. He says, now he's like 27, and he has baseball makeup like a 13-year-old. And we've seen so many of these mistakes that you just shake your head. And Glaber, as we know, Glaber's a great guy.
He is.
And you look at the production of him. The thing is he's not consistent. You can't count on him. And he can be so bad and just do, like, even when he's hitting, he'll do things like the way he runs the bases. He'll miss a pop-up, or he'll throw a routine ground ball. He'll throw it away. It just doesn't seem his mind is in the game. And the Yankees have dealt with that for years. And they're done with it. He's not coming back. So the offensive production, look, the team is better. You don't need to score as many runs. With Soto gone and Torres gone, you don't need to score as many runs when you have Max Fried as your number two starter. And when you have the bullpen, replace Clay Holmes with Devin Williams. Like that's the bullpen is so much better. The game's shorter. It's this Yankee team is going to win more games 3-2, 4-2, 5-3, than having to outscore teams. They're still going to, Judge is still going to be great. Last year, let's face it, I believe a lot of what Soto did is from Soto hitting number two and Judge number three. It wasn't the other way around. How good would Judge have been in a, what do you have last year? All the home runs he had last year with Soto, if it was the other way around. So, hey, Stanton was hurt for a month, and Rizzo played all kind of cleanup hitters. Austin Wells was okay for a while. Judge is going to be produced. You don't have to worry about the Yankees scoring runs. They will score enough runs, and they're going to be a better pitching team. It's still going to come down to, can they stay healthy? They will be in a playoff, and they'll give it another shot. Right now, on paper, they're a better team today than they were at the going into the World Series.
Where can people read what you're writing, Randy?
My Twitter is at Randy J. Miller, and I'm at NJ.com. Again, happy holidays to you. I heard your song. You said one of your favorite songs there. So at some point during the break tonight, throw on my favorite Christmas song, which is the Frank Sinatra Marshmallow World song. That's my favorite.
Okay, Rami, you got a request right there from Randy
on
a little Christmas music from Old Blue Eyes, all right?
No, Otto Blythe, Dean Martin.
Oh, Dean, no, you said Frank Sinatra.
I'm sorry, yeah, I'm sorry. Dean Martin's Marshmallow World.
All right, you got it. Dino, we'll get you a little Dean Martin, a little Las Vegas flavor for your Christmas. Merry Christmas. All right, Merry Christmas, my friend. We'll talk soon. All right. Randy Miller, NJ.com, and he says right now, the Yankees are a better team than they were last year with the additions that they've made, even losing Juan Soto.